This reading is by Kathy Jetnal Kajiner of the Marshall Islands. It's written to her daughter. Dear Matafele Penam, you are a seven-month-old sunrise of gummy smiles. You are bald as an egg and bald as the Buddha. You are thighs that are thunder and shrieks that are lightning. So excited for bananas, hugs, and our morning walks past the lagoon. Dear Matafele Penam, I want to tell you about that lagoon, that lucid, sleepy lagoon lounging against the sunrise. Men say that one day that lagoon will devour you. They say it will gnaw at the shoreline, chew at the roots of your breadfruit trees, gulp down rows of your seawalls, and crunch your island's shattered bones. They say you, your daughter, and your granddaughter, too, will wander rootless with only a passport to call home. Dear Matafele Penam, don't cry. Mommy promises you no one will come and devour you. No greedy whale of a company sharking through political seas. No backwater bullying of businesses with broken morals. No blindfolded bureaucracy is going to push this mother ocean over the edge. No one's drowning, baby. No one's moving. No one's losing their homeland. No one's going to become a climate change refugee. Or should I say, no one else. To the Carteret Islanders of Papua New Guinea and to the Taro Islanders of the Solomon Islands, I take this moment to apologize to you. We are drawing the line here. Because, baby, we are going to fight. Your mommy, daddy, Bubu, Jimma, your country, and president, too. We will all fight. And even though there are those hidden behind platinum titles who like to pretend that we don't exist, that the Marshall Islands, Tuvalu, Kiribati, Maldives, and Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, and floods of Pakistan, Algeria, Colombia, and all of the hurricanes, earthquakes, and tidal waves didn't exist, still, there are those who see us, hands reaching out, fists raising up, banners unfurling, megaphones booming, and we are canoes blocking coal ships. We are the radiance of solar villages. We are the rich, clean soil of the farmer's past. We are petitions blooming from teenage fingertips. We are families biking, recycling, reusing, engineers dreaming, designing, building, artists painting, dancing, writing, and we are spreading the word. And there are thousands out on the street marching with signs, hand in hand, chanting for change now. And they're marching for you, baby. They're marching for us. Because we deserve to do more than just survive. We deserve to thrive. Dear Matafele Penam, you are eyes heavy with drowsy weight, so just close those eyes, baby, and sleep in peace. Because we won't let you down. You'll see. Amen. I saw a sign a while back on Facebook. It was the kind of sign you might see outside a general store or a muffler shop with hand-placed all capital letters, which in this case spelled, "Humans are 90% water." Basically, cucumbers with anxiety. Speaking for myself, I aspire to the serenity of a cucumber. With awareness. Awareness carries terrible burdens. Climate change is upon us, and its first victims are the most vulnerable people on the planet, mostly poor and of color. The last 4 years, 2015 through 2018, have been the hottest in recorded history. In Antarctica, 2018 was the warmest year ever recorded, with alarming implications for sea level rise. 29 countries, among them France, Germany, Italy, Greece, and the United Arab Emirates, where the thermometer hit 123 degrees Fahrenheit last June. 29 countries experienced their warmest year ever in 2018. Last fall, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warned that we have only a dozen years to keep global warming to a maximum of 1.5 degree centigrade, beyond which even half a degree will significantly worsen drought, flooding, extreme heat, and poverty for hundreds of millions of people. To avoid this calamity, the IPCC said, rapid and far-reaching energy changes are required. Meanwhile, carbon dioxide keeps pouring into the atmosphere at record rates. To avoid catastrophic climate change, Bill McKibben explains, we have to stop all new digging and drilling for fossil fuels and building pipelines to move them. Because the mines and oil and gas fields currently in operation worldwide already contain enough carbon to cook the planet. From now on, declares McKibben, anyone proposing a new pipeline, coal mine, or oil well is effectively a climate denier. While we're trying to put out the fire, President Trump is throwing gasoline on it, fast-tracking the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines, and appointing a fossil fuel zealot like Scott Pruitt to obstruct the mission of his own agency, the EPA. And after Pruitt was forced to resign because he never saw an ethical violation he didn't like, his successor, former coal lobbyist Andrew Wheeler, is pursuing the same fossil fuel agenda even more effectively. Of course, climate change is not the only threat to our survival. A report released just last week showed that in the last 30 years, insect biomass has declined by an astounding 2.5% per year. In the next 30 years, 40% of all insect species may go extinct, mostly as a result of habitat destruction and the reckless use of chemical insecticides and fertilizers. While they might not be as cuddly as our mammal cousins, insects play an essential ecological role, and they pollinate 75% of global crop production. You know, I still believe our fellow citizens are, by and large, basically good and decent people. We want to do the right thing. We want to help. There are entire vocations whose mission is to help. The Coast Guard, firefighters, first responders risk their lives. Many would give their lives to save mine or yours. And all of us, if we saw a child whose life was in danger, wouldn't we help? Wouldn't we do something? At least call 911 or maybe do something heroic ourselves. Because if we didn't, the child would die. And yet how many children will die from climate change and the drought, flooding, storms, famine, displacement, and disease it will cause. And these same good, decent, sometimes heroic Americans don't do anything about it. There are lots of reasons. Ignorance, ideology, disinformation, helplessness, overwhelm, despair, economic insecurity, racism, addiction to the conveniences and distractions of hypercapitalism. In the throes of addiction, not one of us thinks clearly. The climate crisis is solvable. Solutions are all around us. Wind, solar, conservation, efficiency, smart growth, smart infrastructure, bioagriculture, eco-restoration. It's no longer enough to shrink our personal carbon footprint or even to green our congregation. These are good things to do. But many of us have been doing them for decades, and the earth has only gotten hotter. We've got to take our prayers for creation into the streets, into the voting booth, into the corridors of power. In 2016, I was arrested a second time in civil disobedience, protesting construction of the fracked gas pipeline in West Roxbury, where residents are worried about potential leaks and explosions, as well as about the pipeline's contribution to global warming. In solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux in their struggle against the Dakota Access Pipeline, 10 of us blocked construction in West Roxbury by either sitting on the edge of the trench or climbing down into it. That day, as the police arrested us, one of them whispered, "Thank you for your service." They live there too. They don't want the pipeline either. Before the action, 70 of us gathered for interfaith worship at Theodore Parker Church in West Roxbury. Brian Cale performed his song, "Praise Be the Ragtime Band." Praise be the ragtime band. Praise be the rambler's thumb. Praise be the mislaid plans. Praise be the flood if it comes. Praise be the ragtime band. Praise be our mislaid plans. My eyes are dry and they are open. I keep my grief in my hands. Praise be the flood if it comes. How do we praise the flood? How do we praise the flood that wreaks destruction, drowns our neighbors, and sweeps away everything in its path? What if the flood is the breaking of the waters in the birth of a new world? What if the cries of creation are the labor pains of the birth of a new creation, a new society, a new way of being with each other and with ourselves? A way of compassion, a way of kindness, a way of justice, a way of healing. What if the election of Donald Trump is an organ failure in the necessary death of systems, assumptions, norms, beliefs, traditions, aversions, addictions that no longer serve us, if they ever did, that do not serve life on this planet? Valerie Carr is an Indian American, a Sikh, a civil rights lawyer, and a mother. What if, she asks, what if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if our America is not dead, but a country still waiting to be born? What if this is our great contraction before we birth a new future? Remember, Carr tells us, remember the wisdom of the midwife. Breathe, she says. Breathe. Then push. The morning after Donald Trump was elected, Methodist pastor Steve Garness Holmes wrote these words: "When the temple falls, we are awakened from the illusion that the world is just fine. We finally know what others have known all along. We are vulnerable. From the Roman Empire to the Holocaust, to today's unarmed young black men, or the people of Aleppo, or refugees, or the trafficked and exploited, they know. There is no guarantee of justice, no illusion that everything will be all right. The whole world is at risk. There is no refuge. There never has been. When the temple falls, what do? We become the temple ourselves. When the temple falls, we become the resurrection. We let ourselves be raised, let ourselves be changed. So I invite you to imagine in your mind's eye right now a 4-year-old child. It doesn't matter who it is. Maybe it's a girl in the Marshall Islands in the Pacific. Maybe it's a boy in an urban neighborhood in Sudan. Maybe they live here in the United States on the Gulf Coast or Long Island. Maybe she looks a little like your granddaughter. Maybe he reminds you of your best friend when you were a child. Imagine the shy smile on this child's face. Imagine this child playing with friends. Imagine this child in the tender embrace of parents. Now imagine that it's up to you whether this child suffers, whether this child is in pain, whether this child dies from famine or drought or storm, drowning in a flood that sweeps away her house, poisoned by contaminated water, or starving in a refugee camp. Now imagine this same child growing up happy, well-nourished, sustained by family and community, with renewable energy, equal opportunity, and a democratic government. These are the two futures before this child, before us all. Which future is real is up to us. Right now, our neighbors in Weymouth are fighting a proposed compressor station, part of a Spectra energy plan to transport fracked gas across New England to Canada. The project poses a risk of catastrophic explosion, and by expanding fossil fuel supply, will worsen global warming. For the last 11 months, I've been helping to organize a new coalition of faith leaders and scientists for renewable energy and climate justice in Massachusetts. The active support of Cardinal Sean O'Malley and the Massachusetts Catholic Conference brings unprecedented political clout to this interfaith campaign. For more information, you can visit faithsciencealliance.org or see me after worship, where you can add your name to our mailing list. I have a clipboard. Is it too late? Is it too late to prevent climate change? Yeah, it is too late to prevent climate change. The damage has already begun. Some of it may be irreversible. Many will die. Many have died already. But it is never too late to save the next life or the next species. It's never too late to offer love to our neighbor or even our enemy. Never too late to feed the hungry, to welcome the stranger, to heal the sick, to visit the prisoner. It's never too late to repair the world. It's never too late to change. My friends, there is no birth without death. In the Christian tradition, there is no resurrection without crucifixion. Everything is interconnected. All beings are our relations. We are not victims of the flood. We are the flood. We are running waters, says Lakota activist Chase Iron Eyes, seeking a way, cutting fresh courses when spring swells us with power. We move mountains and break banks, creating. May we cut fresh courses. May we swell with power. May we move mountains and break banks until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.